You, Don, Jenna, John, David. Thank you very much. Woo! 9 years ago, a man by the name of Yurun Thatha was gifted a house in a small village in India. Pretty remarkable thing to give a guy a house. But as you hear this story, you'll kind of see how that could be easily possible. Yurun was a follower of Dinoba, who was a disciple of Gandhi, and he believes in peace, equanimity in all actions, honors all life of every form. They're vegetarians. They never consume alcohol or anything that would affect the mind in any way. Very peaceful people. He moved into this house and discovered right away that his next door neighbor was an obnoxious, loud, drunken lout. He was a bully and prone to violence. On like the second day in that house, he woke up in the morning and looked out, and there in his front yard was all types of meats and food and liquor, all of which were very offensive to him. So he went out to the men who had brought this there and explained to them, this is now my house and my property, and this is offensive to me, and I would greatly appreciate it if you would remove it. The foreman listened to him and did, and removed all the stuff. That night at 12:30, the doors to his little area started shaking violently, and there out front was a drunken man, furious. And he rattled the door, and he called him out, Yurun, Yurun, get out here. So he put on his glasses, and this 73-year-old man went to the door, and he said, I am Yurun, how may I help you? And he said, do you know who I am? What right do you have to send my men away? And with that, he picked him up and shook him violently. And this poor man is shaking. He dropped him and, wow, big old haymaker, lands it in the old man's face, knocks his glasses away. And with that, then he reached down and grabbed the old man's glasses and threw them into the little stream. And little Yurun said, you may pluck my eyes from my head, but know that this is my property, and I will respect you. I will ask you to respect my boundaries. With that, the drunken neighbor let out another string of expletives and staggered back toward his own house. The next morning, the wife of his neighbor came over, and she had money, and she tried to give it to Yurun. She tried to give it to him to make up for the glasses. And he said no. He said, they were old glasses. They were, well, my prescription has changed significantly, and I really needed new ones anyway. It's okay. And he didn't accept her money. A few days later, as he walked down the street, his belligerent neighbor was walking the other way. And rather than say anything, his neighbor just looked down and ignored him and walked on by. And with that, Yurun thought, what can I do to live peaceably with this man? what can I possibly do? Well, their houses were so close together and paper-thin walls. He could hear this guy swearing at his employees, cussing at his vendors all day, every day. He was such a bully. He was such a belligerent man that it was really making Uran's life miserable. And then he thought about it and what he could do. And he just took it to prayer. He took it to quietness. And then one day, he heard it. He heard three little words come out of this bellicose man's mouth. At the end of a conversation with one of his customers, he said, "Jai Shri Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna." We don't have a very good translation for that. I think probably the closest thing that we could come to would be our word of namaste. The best translation I could get was this: "I bow to the divine in you, to the divine in me, and to that place where there is only one of us." A few days later, he ran into his neighbor on the street again. And he said, "The other day I heard you say, Jai Shri Krishna. And I was wondering if we could greet each other with those words from now on." And the belligerent man, what could he say? And so he agreed. Well, the very next day they saw each other. He said, "Jai Shri Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna." And they began to exchange that every time they saw each other. And after a few weeks, it was obvious they could each hear everything that was going on in the other one's house. As the belligerent man was getting ready to go to work in the morning, he was getting ready to leave his house, he just shouted out, "Jai Shri Krishna." And Uran shouted back, "Jai Shri Krishna." And that became kind of a pattern for them. And they continued on this for quite some time. And then one day, he didn't hear it. He didn't hear Jai Shri Krishna in the morning. But he happened to run into his neighbor later on in the street. And he said, "I didn't hear my greeting this morning. I didn't hear Jai Shri Krishna." And his neighbor replied, "Well, I saw that you were reading, and I didn't want to disturb you." Uran's reply was, no, I loved it. It's become part of my connection with nature and my connection with God. It is to me like the sound of the birds chirping. It is like the sound of our little brook. It is like the sound of the wind in the branches of the trees. And so they said, "Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna." It's been 9 years, and they still greet each other every morning with Jai Shri Krishna. The title of my talk today is The Reciprocal Universe. This is continuing in our study of the fundamentals of the science of mind. And this is out of the old Foundations class. It's Core Concept 7. And simply stated, the reciprocal universe says that we live in a reciprocal universe. What we put forth into the universe is what comes back to us. My 3 points today are: first, the climate of our thinking reflects the conditions of our lives. Next, I'm going to talk a little bit about the golden rule. And last, I'm going to talk about self-talk. First of all, the climate of our thinking reflects the conditions of our lives. Ernest Holmes said, "Everyone automatically attracts to himself just what he is." But this isn't just something that Ernest Holmes came up with. It's not something new to our philosophy or new thought. This idea is widely accepted. The movie The Secret is based on the law of attraction. This whole idea of a reciprocal universe is tied very closely to the law of attraction. In fact, in The Science of Mind, the entire chapter 18 is based on the law of attraction. From the divine abundance, we receive that for which we create a mental equivalent. Again, from the divine abundance, we receive that for which we create a mental equivalent. In some of the other talks that we've had, we've talked about how our thoughts are creative. And if we hold these thoughts, this is the experience that we have in our lives. It's an article I saw earlier this week called Dr. Bob's Clinic of Compassion. And there's a doctor, Dr. Peglow, in Albany, New York. Dr. Bob runs a totally free health clinic. He doesn't charge anybody for anything. He accepts donations, and there are a few places that support him, but he charges nothing. He and his wife live in two empty rooms in a rectory in a nearby church. They are gifted with food. They are gifted with other things. He can walk to work. He has very little expenses. I learned about this, and then there was a YouTube that was attached with it, this YouTube video, and it was really cool. In this YouTube, he is working with a lady, and she came in, and he asked her how she was doing, and she said, well, still not doing real well. And he said, well, are you taking your medications? And she looked down, and she said, no. He said, why are you not taking your medications? And she said, because I can't afford it. I had to make a choice between food for my kids or the medicine. And the kids come first. And with that, Dr. Bob pulled out this old-fashioned check register, like what I used to have. Still do, in fact. And he wrote her out a check for the amount of the prescription. He even provides for the medicine for his people. Now, this is what Dr. Bob puts forth into the universe. Now, the universe supplies him with all of his needs, housing, food. But can you imagine what that man is doing in the world, the love that he is putting out, the love that is spreading, and the love that comes back to him because of what he does? And that's all within our power, too. And I'm not suggesting that we all go out and open free medical clinics, but I am saying that we can do that on a minor scale ourselves. Ernest Holmes. There is always a reciprocal action between the universal and the individual mind. A reciprocal action between the universal and our individual minds. Later on, he says, thought can attract to us that which we first mentally embody, that which has become a part of our mental makeup, a part of our inner understanding. So if we are beings of peace, if we approach the world like Urun Thatha, we can make a difference. And even those belligerent bullies can change their behavior toward us. We're all familiar with the golden rule, or I hope most of us are. We learned it as kids. And basically, the golden rule is an embodiment of this whole idea of a reciprocal universe. What we put out is what comes back to us. And once again, this is not unique to the science of mind or unique to our philosophy or new thought. actually had 17 of these, but I abbreviated it. These are quotations from various religions. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Islam, no one of you is a believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. In Taoism, regard your neighbor's gain as your own gain and regard your neighbor's loss as your own loss. The Zoroastrians, who can be thought of as perhaps the precursor to all of the monotheistic religions, that nature only is good when it shall do no, that nature only is good when it shall not do unto another whatever is not good for its own self. Judaism, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Buddhism, in five ways should a clansman minister to his friends and familiars: by generosity, courtesy, benevolence, by treating them as he treats himself, and by being as good as his word. Hinduism, men gifted with intelligence should always treat others as they themselves wish to be treated. Jainism, in happiness and suffering, in joy and grief, we should all regard all creatures as we regard our own selves. And finally, the Sikhs, as thou deemest thyself, so deem others. Then thou shalt become a partner in heaven. If we have that many different religions, and there were more, we have that many sources saying the same thing, you think that when there's a little bit of smoke, there might be fire? When we have this many people in the world that hold these to be fundamental truths, maybe there's something to that. And if we can treat one another that way, we can be treated back. And finally, I'm going to talk a little bit about self-talk. The ideas that we hold, that we put forth into the universe, just as we just got through talking about, we don't always hold the highest thoughts for ourselves. Had an idea of getting involved in doing some walking and some running and getting in better shape. First thing I thought, oh, I can't do that. It's been 20 years since I did anything like that. You know what? If I believe I can't do that, you know, I can't. But if I can shift that attitude, if I can say I can do that, if I can say I can try to do that, maybe I can get out and maybe I can just walk around the block the first day. Maybe I can just start to eat a little bit better this day. Maybe I can stretch. Maybe after a few weeks I can do a 1K. Maybe after 3 weeks I could do a 3K. Maybe after 3 months I can do a 5K. But we have to stop the negative self-talk first. Our kids are over there studying and continuing on in this Buddhist tradition that they've been doing the last few weeks. And the story that they're learning today is a story of a nobleman that goes in search of the truth and in India. And he goes all over looking for this guru, the super guru that knows the most, the wisest man of all. And he finally finds this guy after searching and searching for months. And he asks him, "Oh, wise guru, what is the key to Buddhism? What is the most important thing that the Buddha ever taught?" The guru thought for a moment and he said, "First, do no harm, and then do good to everyone." Well, this noble says, "What do you mean? That's self-evident. Everybody knows that." And today we have a commercial about it. Everybody knows that. Why, a third grader could say that. And the guru said, "You're right. A third grader could say that. But it's difficult to do even for an old man like me." And that self-talk is just like that. It's really, really easy to say it, but it's a little more difficult to do it. So I have some tips for you on how to be aware of our self-talk and thought quality. You can ask yourself these kinds of questions. What kind of things am I saying to myself right now? Under what circumstances do I most notice my self-talk? At what time of day do I most notice my self-talk? Boy, that's what gets me. You get tired late in the afternoon? I'm not doing that. Is the pattern of my thinking supportive of my desires? Or is it running contrary to my desires? And lastly, are my thoughts about myself positive or negative? I'll leave you with the thought today that we do indeed live in a reciprocal universe. What we put forth is what we get back. And watch our self-talk. We can treat others as we wish to be treated. And we can be aware of the climate of thinking in our lives. So with that kind of an understanding, I would like to invite the practitioners to join me in recognizing that infinite intelligence, which we call God, that infinite intelligence that is present everywhere at every moment is certainly within each and every one of us in this moment. And that infinite intelligence has within its powers the ability to create all that is, all of the heavens, the stars, the entire universe. And with that power, it certainly has the power to heal that which was within us that is broken. It has the power, that infinite intelligence has the power to heal any sense of separation. It has the power to heal any apparent disease or illness. It has the power to bring forth all of the abundance of that vast universe. And so I speak my word for each and every person who may be experiencing a financial challenge. Knowing that we do indeed live in an infinite universe, we live in an abundant universe, and that abundance is our birthright. And so for those people, I claim that infinite. I know that we are all taken care of. And for those that are experiencing the appearance of disease, I simply know that that healing power is there and available now. And I call forth the highest good. And for those that are experiencing relationship challenges, whether they be relationships at work, romantic relationships, family relationships, friendships. I just know that we go forth and we carry with us that sense of peace, that equanimity that allows us to experience the love even between a belligerent bully and an old man, because what we put forth is what comes back to us. And so I give thanks. I give thanks for my awareness of the power and the presence of God here and now within each and every one of us. I give thanks for the blessings of the universe. I give thanks for the peace, the joy, the love that is. And now knowing that the words that I have just spoken are God's own truth with a capital T, I release these words, the working of law. I let it go, let it be, and so it is.